America's game. Now, stop humming, it's everything to change. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Apartment intros always go the hottest, cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into America's Game, episode number 67. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. Follow the show at America's Game Pod and at South Harmon FF on YouTube and Twitter as well. Follow us there. Check out all our podcasts and video content on YouTube. But today I have a special guest. His first time, I believe, on the South Harmon podcast feed.
That's right. Yeah. It's me. Man,
the myth, the legend, my Sunday co-host for Start Sit Shows, T-Rock. T-Rock, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm freaking super stoked to be on this show. I've been listening to you for years, EV. So, man, I'm pretty freaking excited.
Yeah, man, it's nice to have you on here. I mean, if you don't know T-Rock, he's the man behind a lot of the articles you see on the websites, and you know, he posts them on Twitter as well, the link to them. Does really, really good stuff on the articles, so make sure you guys check those out. What's your Twitter handle so they could go check it out?
T-Rock5220. The 52 is for Ray Lewis, the 20 is for Ed Reed. T-Rock.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go. So yeah, follow him on Twitter as well. Check out his articles. Really fun stuff. They're like, you know, totally different than any other articles you would kind of read in the fantasy space. So it's really fun stuff. I really enjoy them, checking them out. So I think the first question is, you kind of just brought it up there. You live in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
but you're a fucking Ravens fan. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but my older brother, he's the one that got me into football. So I remember vividly watching my first Ravens game. It was against Charlie Batch, who got hurt. And you know who came in? Freaking Ben Roethlisberger. This is in, I believe, 2013. But I remember like it was yesterday. Ben had a really good game, too, for a rookie, but they barely lost that game, so the Ravens won it. So, yeah, ever since then. My brother being from Baltimore, all the rest of my family being from Baltimore. My dad, he went to Johns Hopkins. That's where he met my mother. And then they moved to Cleveland for the Cleveland Clinic. And then they had me. And I was born in Fairview Hospital in Cleveland. So,
okay. Yeah. So your first game you actually watched was 2013. You hadn't watched football prior to that?
Not that I really remember. I grew up super into movies. That was my thing. But my brother is like, hey, we need to toughen your ass up. We're going to get you into football. So I started watching football with them, and I've been a diehard Ravens fan ever since. I've grown up in enemy territory ever since then. So
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense now, that knowing your family's all from Baltimore and stuff. You didn't start watching till 2013. It's not like you or me, who's lived in, you know, the area their whole life and can remember when the Browns moved out to Baltimore, and you were into it back then, and you know that whole stuff happened. So okay, I can give you a little bit of a pass on that.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you.
Yeah. 2013, that's interesting. So you don't even remember like the first Ravens Super Bowl. You didn't even have a clue of what was going on.
No, I didn't know anything at the time about Siragusa or, you know, that vaunted 2000 Ravens defense.
That Ravens defense was a masterpiece. Defense was sick.
I didn't get to see Ray Lewis strip the ball from Eddie George.
Don't bring that up. Love Eddie George. Probably one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah, he is. I love the bars he's got down in Columbus. Frequent visitor of those ones. But I've been a huge Ravens fan ever since then.
All right, who's we'll do a quick little America's favorite game. Who's your favorite Ravens player?
So my first favorite Ravens player was Todd Heap. I remember wanting a Todd Heap jersey so bad and going to the mall and my dad being like, just freaking pick Ray Lewis. There's no freaking Todd Heap here. And I remember I had to order. My dad was so pissed that he had to spend like $150 on NFLshop.com to get a Todd Heap jersey. But that was my first favorite Ravens player. But of course, like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Lamar Jackson and now Derrick Henry. Oh my God, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I do have to admit Ray Lewis and Ed Reed are definitely two of my favorite players as well. I do have an Ed Reed jersey in my closet, so I get it. I get it. I had to get it. Like, I back in like that era with Ed Reed, Dawkins, Bob Sanders, Polamalu, all those guys. Like the safety play back then was like literally the best in the history of the NFL. So like just watching those guys, man, it was. Such a treat watching all those guys. So I get it for sure.
The battle between those freaking safeties and the tight ends of the game. Oh my God. That was the best matchup for years.
Yeah. And like even Peyton Manning versus Ray Lewis was always great. Like just them audibling at the, you know, doing different things and communicating and all that. Like those were great battles too. So
Tom Brady versus Ed Reed. Yeah. That was
also
a good one, too.
Yeah. There was a lot of good Ravens-Patriots games there at the end, too, with Flacco was in there. Yeah. So first thing I want to go over here, we did have some trades today since today is the trade deadline day, election day here on Tuesday as well. So we did have some trades that came down in the NFL. So we'll start, we'll just kind of give our quick thoughts on it. So the first one, Khalil Herbert finally rescued from Chicago where they didn't even use him. With Zach Moss going on the injured reserve for the rest of the season with a bad neck injury, Khalil Herbert is going to step in as the RB2 in Cincinnati for the rest of the year. So how do you feel about Khalil Herbert there in Cincinnati?
Well, I can tell you, like, at the beginning of the season, I felt like we were pretty excited. We thought that he was going to get a pretty good share with him and Swift, with Roschon Johnson, you know, mixing in too. The fact that he never eclipsed more than 11% target share in Chicago kind of just shows that they didn't know what really the hell they were doing in Chicago on offense. And it still doesn't really show that they're doing that. I am, like you, very, very excited for Khalil Herbert. I think he's a talented running back. He's very underrated on the goal line. And, yeah, he's a dual-threat running back, too. He can take any screen in the house, you know, just in the blink of an eye. He's very similar, I feel like, to Chase Brown. They're both explosive running backs. I think they wanted two running backs that could be explosive, both through on the ground game and, in, you know, through the air. So I'm excited for it. I think it's going to take a few weeks, you know, for him to get acclimated. But the Bengals, they need everything that they can get. I don't think they want to just turn over and die this season. So not with the way Joe Burrow is playing. What do you think?
Yeah, I love Khalil Herbert. I've always been a big fan of his ever since the draft was one of them. I think he was my fourth or fifth running back in that draft class. So I always had him pretty high. I was excited about him. He had some flashes there in Chicago. And then this year, I thought him and Swift would kind of be a tandem together and Roschon would be an afterthought. But Khalil ended up being the afterthought. Like, they just hardly used him. Some weeks he was inactive. So I'm glad he got out of there. You know, if he performs well, I could see Chase Brown and Herbert being the two guys for Cincinnati again next year. So I believe Herbert is a free agent, so they probably have to re-sign him. But guess what? He's probably going to be cheap. So, I like the pickup there for Cincinnati. For fantasy-wise, dynasty leagues, I'm picking them up everywhere if I can because I've seen some people cut them. Redraft leagues, I think you kind of have to have just an open spot that you know, somebody got injured or whatever to kind of pick him up. But, like, I'm not dropping. Like, I wouldn't go drop Roschon Johnson to go pick up Khalil Herbert. You know, maybe, like, Dare Ogunwale, if you still have him.
Yeah, like the hardest him. Player to say.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of guys in my head that people still might be holding on to, but like it would have to be like somebody that's not getting used. Like, I'm still keeping Trey Benson in a redraft. I'm still keeping Blake Corum. Like, those guys, I still want to keep those handcuffs. But I think Herbert is definitely going to be valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Next trade up was kind of a shocking one. It was the Cowboys picking up Jonathan Mingo and a 7th-round pick and gave up a 4th-round pick, which is crazy to me. But what did you think of Mingo going here to Dallas to basically play with Cooper Rush for the next month and no CD Lamb?
I was about to say, I would be a lot more excited because he was one of my favorite wide receivers coming out of the draft. To see him just get completely misused the first year and everyone shit on him, I feel like was just kind of a downer. He does get renewed life in Dallas, but where is he gonna, you know, fit in the offense? They have Tolbert there, they have CeeDee Lamb there. I know Brandon Cooks is still on IR, but they also have Ferguson. I don't know. I feel like you kind of alluded to it. It's hard to get excited with Cooper Rush. But I kind of feel like Cooper Rush, I don't think that he's going to last very long as the starter. I feel like they're going to want to throw Trey Lance in there to see what they got, since their team is already going kind of into the dumpster fire and they have Dak without the next month. Do you think that Trey Lance is going to start over the next month?
Yeah, I think Trey Lance will definitely get in there at some point. Cooper Rush, when he did play, when Dak broke his ankle that one year, Cooper Rush was just fine. Like, we all thought it was going to be a total disaster, but he kind of got them a couple wins, kept the team afloat, so he wasn't like a complete zero. So
yeah, but that I think was a it just way it's different Cowboys team, though.
Yeah. This is now without CeeDee Lamb. You know, it's going to be ugly here. I think Mingo, yeah, he's probably going to be like, I don't know, just kind of think of like Michael Gallup, maybe at best case scenario. Like, if he can just do what Michael Gallup did, I think it'll be a little bit of a success. I did like Mingo a lot in the draft as well, but yeah, he's just been stuck with Carolina, who's been a shitty team, shitty first coaching staff. The second coaching staff, he hasn't really taken strides. They drafted Leggett over him, so Leggett was getting more opportunities. They had Dylan, they had Deontay, so Mingo has kind of just been buried as well. I'm hoping the change of scenery really does him good. I don't have many shares of him still, but if he ends up being something, sweet. But I think he's more of like a wait and see. He's going to be a guy that, you know, God, if he can get me 50 yards, I'll be happy. But I don't even know if he's going to be able to do that. It seems like he's kind of be stuck in the same, like, 3 for 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, you did mention the, we'll bring it up too. Dak is going on the IR, so that'll means he will miss the next 4 games. And then CeeDee Lamb hasn't gone on IR, but it sounds like he is going to miss multiple weeks with his shoulder injury. So Dallas without Dak Prescott, without CeeDee Lamb, and I believe they have the Philadelphia Eagles rolling into town.
Damn, so it's going to be an ass whooping.
Yeah, so thank God I got that free $49 bet this week on FanDuel. I'll be putting that one on the Eagles for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think? Dak being out, is he somebody you still want to hold on to in Dynasty? You know, I mean, he's going to be back, obviously. Would you pivot off of him? And Cooper Rush, I guess, what do you think for him for the rest of the year?
I don't own Dak Prescott in any shares, but if I was tearing down, I probably would try to include him in a package. He might be one of the quarterbacks that I target, because this year has been, you know, he was the number two quarterback last year. I think the last I saw him, he was like the quarterback 20 this year. He's not been playing well, but that's, I think, more of a product of the team. And that's one of the things that I think is most interesting about the quarterback position, is just how much their success is based upon the coaching and the rest of the team and how well they're performing. And Dak Prescott, if you poll like 100 different NFL quarterbacks who some of their favorite quarterbacks are, Dak Prescott almost always makes their list. He's, I think, someone that's always undervalued, but he's like the perfect quarterback too. So if I don't have to give up more than like two firsts in value, he's going to be with CeeDee Lamb for quite a while. And I expect that Dallas is going to see a lot of turnover in the offseason and try to right the ship. So this year, I would be making that play for next year. What about you?
I think a good thing to do is, like, say if you're a team that has, you know, some of these back end guys like Trevor Lawrence, I guess Tua, if you don't feel great about Tua, Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, Matt Stafford, those types of players. And like, you can go and see like, oh, the Dak owner was in second place or first place or whatever. I would try to go and send that quarterback, and see if you can get Dak back and see if you can get a little bit of an upgrade there. Like, yeah, you're going to be missing Dak for a month plus, but you know, maybe you get off one of these assets that aren't as valuable as like a healthy Dak Prescott. So that would be my play if I were doing it.
Yeah. Like I have CJ Stroud, a couple of shares of him. And I think a lot of his, you know, value is overinflated. So I think that if you wanted to tear down and pick up an extra piece, that's something that I was looking at earlier, is someone like a CJ Stroud for a Dak Prescott plus. So,
yeah, I think you could definitely get a first plus more for Dak, you know, get Dak a first and something else for Stroud. Cause just looking at keep trade cut right now, CJ Stroud is still quarterback four. He's above Jalen Hurts, which above is Mahomes. Mahomes is quarterback eight, which is criminal too. Like, and Dak has fallen a little bit. He's at quarterback 19 now. Like, they have Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, Goff, these guys above him. So, like, I don't agree with that necessarily. So, but yeah, let's just kind of see how you felt about Dak. And then, real quickly on Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. So, I think in any best ball leagues, those guys, I mean, lineup leagues too, those guys are worth picking up. I think if you can try and get Lance and Rush, I think that would be the play. So, you could at least have the Cowboy starter here for a month. Just to have them, but yeah, best ball leagues, definitely putting in bids on those guys, this week, so you can try and get them.
And you just never know. Cause like last year when if you pick up someone like a Mason Rudolph or Jake Browning,
right.
You know, Joe Flacco, it's just like, you just never know with some of these guys. So it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like you said, Browning came on last year. I mean, when Cooper Rush came in, like, everyone thought, holy shit, this is like quarterback 75 in the league. And he actually wasn't that bad. So I think he beat the Giants on Monday Night Football, if I'm not mistaken, the one year he did come in. But yeah, so that's our little thoughts there on Rush. And then Lance, I'm assuming Lance would get in there at some point, but if he's completely awful like he was in the preseason, then that might be it for Trey Lance. Other trade, the Commanders picked up Marshawn Lattimore and then some draft picks exchange hands there. So pretty good trade there for Washington, getting a top-of-the-line corner. I think that's going to really help them in their playoff push.
Massive.
Yeah. And then another offensive trade here. So the Steelers, this has been kind of rumored here for 2 weeks or so. The Steelers picked up Mike Williams from the Jets for a 2025 fifth round pick. So what are your thoughts with Mike Williams going to play with Russell Wilson and George Pickens?
I'm pretty excited for it. Yeah, they picked up Mike Williams and Preston Smith. They really want to try to, you know, push for that playoff run. They're doing everything that they can with these underrated type of moves that are probably going to pay big dividends later on in the season. They needed someone outside of George Pickens. Mike Williams he's a big play guy. So I think that's, as long as he's healthy, I think that's going to be pretty awesome. I think his game matches what Russell Wilson can do on the outside very well. You know, Russell Wilson notoriously does not pass over the middle, but it doesn't matter with Mike Williams. So,
Yeah, he's got that fucking moon ball he likes to throw up. So yeah, Mike Williams can go and get it. He kind of reminds me like a little bit of like a Cortland Sutton type, and that's what Russell Wilson had some success with last year, yeah. The last 2 years before this. So yeah, I think that this is going to work out for them. If I would trade like a third round pick in Dynasty for Mike Williams, if somebody's willing to trade him, I'll take a shot on him for a third round pick, but I'm not going to pay anything more than that. Do you feel comfortable giving up a third for Mike Williams?
Yeah, I do, because I feel like thirds, you know, the hit rate if you actually keep that pick, you know, isn't very high. So you might as well just take that chance on a player like Mike Williams. And that's something that you can – I don't think his price is going to skyrocket overnight just because of the move. I think you can wait even a couple of weeks just to see, and his price is never going to get to a second. So – yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it too. So I like Mike Williams. I have a couple shares of him in some dynasty leagues, so I'm excited to see what he could do there. And he instantly becomes their wide receiver too, like the other misfits they had out there. Hopefully this like puts the death nail into Van Jefferson finally, and they can just go with Calvin Austin there in the slot, and Roman Wilson's on IR. So they're doing with that. So we'll see.
The Steelers know what they're doing on when it comes to wide receivers as well. I can't remember off the top of my head like big trades that they've made for wide receivers. But I don't know. This is kind of one of the bigger marquee, big name type of players that they've traded for.
Yeah, I don't remember them trading any wide receivers. I don't remember if they traded Plaxico Burress or if they let him walk in free agency. I don't remember. But trading for one, I don't really remember any off the top of my head. I know they've drafted them like crazy and they've all hit, you know, pretty well. So that's what they're really known for. So, and they were interested in him in the offseason as well. He just chose to sign with the Jets instead of the Steelers. So they had been in on him since last year. So,
yeah. So I'm kind of for that. If the Steelers, they know what they're doing. So give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll keep an eye on the wire here if there's any more trades here. I believe the trade deadline's either at 4 or 5 Eastern. Yeah. It's 3 o'clock right now as we're recording. So if any more trades break, I will bring them up here in the chat or in the podcast here while we go over them. But let's go ahead. Let's go into talking about, you know, some of the stuff from your articles you've been doing. You said you had done quarterbacks and tight ends recently, right?
Yeah, I'm coming out with my quarterback buys later on this week, pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Last week I went over the top quarterbacks so far through 2024. And then the previous 2 weeks was top tight ends and tight end buys so far this season.
So, well, I mean, not to give away too much of your article, but let's talk about like maybe some of your takeaways from the quarterback position. Like who are some of the guys that you're really excited for going for the rest of the season and maybe for the future too?
Yeah. So Lamar Jackson has been the best quarterback that I've reviewed so far this season. It's a big shocker. But Joe Burrow, he came in at a quarterback too. He has just been lighting it up so far this season. He's got the number one quarterback QBR rating. His PFF pass grade is also number one so far this season. And a lot of these different stats that I use, the reason why I use these different ones is starting last year, I wanted to look at, because I'm a big analytics guy and people throw out stats all the time. But for me, it's important. It's like, what is like the correlation rate for a lot of these different stats that people put out there? Is it just, you know, things that people want to say in order to just, I don't know, gas up their player? Or is there actual correlation rate for some of these different metrics that people use? So for QBR, it's got one of the highest correlation rates as far as top 12 quarterbacks. So 64% of the top QBR players are also the top fantasy producers in the league. And for PFF pass grade, there's a 57% correlation rate. So if you're a top PFF pass grade in the league, there is a 57% chance that you're also a top 12 producer. So that's kind of my logic that I go through when I go through a lot of these different metrics that I use. I want to see if they're actually useful or not. But yeah, Joe Burrow, he's been absolutely killing it this season. He's also got an adjusted completion percentage of 79.3%, which is pretty insane. Awesome. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And also, too, he keeps the ball out of harm's way. He's got one of the lowest turnover-worthy play rates in the entire NFL. And that's, like, through how many games without T. Higgins? It's just, like, everyone keeps saying how T. Higgins is such a huge part of the offense. And I don't doubt that it is, but Joe Burrow is playing, like, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, even without him. I know that they just went up against the vaunted, you know, Las Vegas Raiders defense. Yeah. But he could have had, honestly, 6 or 7 touchdowns in that game. And he's probably one of the biggest regrets that I have selling. I traded Joe Burrow away earlier this season for Jaden Reed when he was killing it, and a 2025 first and Derek Carr when Derek Carr was still playing really, really well. So I kind of wish that I had that trade back, but I already had Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. So it's just like I wanted to get, you know, better playmakers and another draft pick towards next year to make a playoff run for next year. But Joe Burrow, it's insane. I don't even think he's – if you still have keep trade cut up.
Yeah, he is currently quarterback number 6, I believe. Yeah, quarterback 6.
And where is he at in the first round? I know there's like three, maybe 4 wide receivers out of him.
Let's see here. If we add in everybody, he is going to be pick 13.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely insane. I wouldn't pick any wide receivers. That's just, I think, our process, you know, as a whole at South Harmon with how much we value quarterbacks. But yeah, Joe Burrow has been absolutely killing it, and I want to pick any of those wide receivers ahead of him. Another quarterback. So with my articles, I try to highlight, especially with the agency bulletin, I try to highlight players that aren't going to be super expensive, but just given where Jalen Hurts is being drafted at right now or being valued on keep trade cut, Jalen Hurts has been one of the best quarterbacks this season, especially over the last few weeks.
Ever since their bye, he's coming and he's been killing it.
Yeah, Philadelphia is completely, you know, they really utilized that bye week to completely turn around their team. They were not, you know, really utilizing Saquon Barkley the correct way. He was still smashing, but there was so much meat left on the bone, and defenses started figuring them out, and they started, you know, not playing as well, but their passing offense has been really, really cooking over the last couple of weeks. So I think he could very well finish as a top 3 quarterback. I think he's going to be right there with Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. So I don't know if people have caught on to that, but he's been one of my favorite quarterbacks over the last couple of years. What do you think of Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow?
So with Jalen Hurts, I had him as quarterback 1 coming into the season. So redraft and dynasty, I had him at quarterback 1. He'd at least be in my top 3 conversation. I think you got to put Josh Allen in there, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels. I think those guys are all there, but I could see that being a top 4 tier. You know, Mahomes is maybe has fallen out of it. I can get behind that, but Mahomes is probably 5th in that tier for me. So, yeah, big in the Jalen Hurts. I still really like him. I think as time goes on, though, his, you know, rushing stats are going to come down. But he's still 26. The guy's still going to be able to run for a couple more years at least before he finally slows down. So, yeah, definitely in on Jalen Hurts. And then Burrow, I think, you know, I think there was definitely a talk, you know, during the offseason of, you know, everybody wanted C.J. Stroud, but I'm like, I'd rather, you know, have Burrow than Stroud. I think it was at least a conversation that you could have, and you could have probably got Burrow plus something over on Stroud. You still might be able to be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, Joe Burrow's always been one of my favorite players too. For like the quarterbacks that quote unquote don't run. So obviously we have all those running quarterbacks towards the top. I think Joe Burrow could be, you know, really, really high there. As a guy that I really like. So I like that one.
Yeah, and I typically like to focus on when it comes to the quarterbacks that I highly value, they just have to be great passers and a part of a great scheme with great weapons around them. And Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts has both of those, you know, in the bag. Jalen Hurts is leading the league in rushing touchdowns amongst quarterbacks. I think that's a huge boost. And he's actually he's averaging 36.4 yards per game as of 2 weeks ago, which is top. I think that's still top five, but there's still a number of quarterbacks that are ahead of him. So he's not getting all of his production through just the yards rushing on the ground, but it's nice to see that he can still get those rushing touchdowns. I think that's a huge upside for him. The two other quarterbacks that I was looking at, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Justin Herbert.
That's who I was looking up just now was Justin Herbert, because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, their team, they transitioned before the bye. They were a very run-heavy team. Now they're one of the top four as far as neutral pass rate goes. They have a neutral pass rate of 58%, which is pretty insane. Or 54%, I'm sorry. The Bengals, I believe, are leading the league. But, yeah, they've become much more of a pass-heavy team, which has been really, really awesome to see. I think we forget just how talented of a passer Justin Herbert is. But he's actually one of the – I think he's third – yeah, 6.3% big time thrower percentage. So those like money throws, you know, nut cutting time. Justin Herbert is one of the best in the league. The only two quarterbacks ahead of him are Josh Allen and, if you can believe it, Anthony Richardson. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I really love the situation that's going on in LA. I think that Harbaugh coming in, completely changing around the team, voting it the right way. I want to get Justin Herbert ahead of next year. I think Justin Herbert is going to go back into the QB1 conversation and be there to stay for ahead of next year. What do you think of Herbert?
Yeah, I'm really big into Herbert too, like you just said. You know, he's been phenomenal the last month or so. So kind of looking at his PFF grades to start the year. So, yeah, the first five games were pretty bad. He had a 57, a 54, a 58, a 56, a 62 were his PFF grades those first five games. Then after that, the Arizona game, 89.7, New Orleans, 95.3, and then against Cleveland last week, it was a 76.7. So he has been awesome. He has 10 passing touchdowns, which isn't great. It's middle of the road in the league. Only one interception on the year, though. I mean, he has been, you know, not turning the ball over, being super, super efficient with what he's doing right now. So I agree with you. You know, they should be in the conversation here to maybe get another receiver here, you know, in the draft next year. Like, give me some Luther Burden with Justin Herbert or Tet McMillan or one of these other guys. I don't know if they're going to be high enough to be picking one of those guys, but maybe, you know, in the back half of the round, first round, they can end up getting one of these guys. But, yeah. Get Justin Herbert, a couple more weapons there. I agree with you. Justin Herbert is definitely a buy for me.
Yeah, and it's good to see. So with that PFF passer rating, they look at the accuracy, decision-making, how well that they progress on the play. And it just takes some time, as we could see with, like, Kirk Cousins at Atlanta. If you bring in a new coaching scheme, you know, all these different new pieces and stuff like that. Sometimes it just takes a little time for people to, you know, get it figured out and to start cooking. So I'm really happy to see Justin Herbert. And the only other player that I have as a possible buy, I'm still going back and forth on this. Maybe you can help me with it, is Brock Purdy. So Brock Purdy, he came in pretty high just through my process. He's got a 10 ADOT, so he's pushing the ball down the field. He's above average on adjusted yards per attempt. And with that adjusted yards per attempt, what that looks at is it measures the quarterback's efficiency. So, but it adds a premium for touchdowns, but a discount for interceptions. Mm-hmm. So he's got an 8.21 on that, which is top six in the league. And he does get some decent rushing yards per game. He's at 26.3. But yeah, he, over the last couple of weeks, it's just been rough. Them losing Brandon Ayuk, I think, is killer for the offense. They're not going to be able to do a lot of different things. But I love the scheme that they have in San Francisco. He's able to make every play, you know, every throw in the, you know, across the field. And I'm hoping that Christian McCaffrey can, you know, him coming back.
Stay healthy.
Yeah, can stay healthy. That for sure. But I don't know. Maybe Brock Purdy is someone that, you know, we can buy next year or later on in the season. I'm not I'm still not sure on him. But he's playing really well despite all the circumstances. It's just, I'm not sure if it's good enough for fantasy, though. I don't know what you think of him.
No, I like Purdy for the rest of the season, especially with McCaffrey coming back. You know, it's still got, he still has Debo. He still has Juwan Jennings. He's got George Kittle. McCaffrey's coming back. Ricky Pearsall is, I don't want to say he's Ayuk, but, you know, he's like 80% Ayuk right now. And he looked pretty decent his first Sunday night game there without Jennings, too. So I think San Francisco should be poised after this bye to really start humming here and getting ready for the playoffs. Like, we all expect them to probably win their division as long as they, you know, don't have catastrophic injuries. I think San Francisco should be in line to be really good the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Another quarterback that I would like to buy right now, just what I've seen from him so far, I've really, really liked, is Drake May. What have you seen from Drake May so far?
So Drake May, a lot of the time, I personally look at who's making the top 12 in a lot of different statistics and stuff like that. So Drake May, he makes the top 12 in big time throw percentage. He has a 4.3% big time throw percentage. So it's awesome to see, you know, the rookie quarterback just coming in and playing with no fear and stuff like that. I think he can definitely be a sneaky buy in that he is not, you know, super remarkable in any of the major metrics that I have. So he kind of flies under the radar. All the production that he's getting right now has to be coming from just him as a passer right now, because you can't look at their offense as a whole and be like, oh yeah, he's built for success and stuff like that. That play that he had against, was it Tennessee, was absolutely insane. He had 11 seconds to get the game. Was it game tying touchdown?
That was pretty insane.
Yep.
And the one big thing that I really like about him is his rushing. So he has a game of 38 rushing yards, a game of 46 rushing yards, and then against Tennessee, 8 for 95.
Yeah.
I mean, so Drake May is definitely a guy who is rising into my top 12 quarterbacks, maybe even higher than that, just based off of his rushing ability. Like, you know, I think the passing is going to come more and more as they get better players. Like, right now he's playing with a bunch of, like, wide receiver three types. You know, there's no alphas out there. But he's making it work with these types of guys, so it's pretty nice. And then you add in the rushing ability. If this guy's going to give me 35, 40, 50 rushing yards a game, you know, his value is going up and up and up. Same with, like, Bo Nix. Same thing. Bo Nix is rushing for a shit ton of yards. You know, he might not get you, like, passing touchdown a week, but he definitely can get you a rushing touchdown. He's getting you, you know, it seems like 25 to 35 rushing yards a game. You know, those add up over the whole season. So I like May and Nix both. Those are guys I'd like to buy.
Yeah. May was my third favorite quarterback coming out of the draft. I had Jaden Daniels, number one in my process, Caleb two, and I had Drake May three. The biggest reservation that I had with Drake May is he misses a lot of gimme throws. You know, he just sometimes either airmails it, but a lot of times he just puts it in the dirt. I haven't seen those throws really come to bite him in the ass so far this season. But like I said before, a lot of my process when it comes to the quarterbacks is, all right, are you playing at an elite level? Do you have great coaches? Do you have great weapons around you? So you can pick – you could pick up Drake May and just hope that they start to really build a team around him. But for me, it's just like, what other quarterbacks are there at that same price, you know,
right,
for Drake May? But I do like what he's been doing so far this season, for sure.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots do in the draft. I think we all expect them to probably be picking in the top 10.
Yeah.
Do they opt to go for one of these stud offensive linemen like Banks from Texas or the LSU tackle I can't think of off the top of my head, but there's a couple of good tackles in this draft class coming out. One of those guys definitely New England can use, like, big time. But they could also use Travis Hunter or Tet McMillan, one of these guys, to come in and be the alpha playmaker. I think personally, the way I would build my team, I would probably go for the offensive lineman, because he's showing right now, like, yeah, he's got DeMario Douglas and Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry, and guess what? He's making plays with these guys. They're not winning games yet. The defense needs to help out a little bit more, but he's showing that he can kind of play with anybody and make them decent. Like, these wide receiver threes, he's elevating to be a little bit better than what they probably are. So that's a really good sign from Drake May. I think Drake May could be one of these guys next year where, like, holy shit, he's above Joe Burrow. He's above CJ Stroud in fantasy rankings. It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. The best thing that we can be thankful for with Drake May is that the coaching situation seems to be pretty solid, especially compared to the rest of the league. It's just like they keep fighting till the end of games. I mean, whether it was the Jets game or the Titans game, it's just like, yeah. So they have a good foundation. But yeah, I'm excited to see Drake May, you know, the next couple of years.
And then real quickly, what are your thoughts on Bo Nix? Or have you, in your studies there, what have you seen on Bo Nix?
Bo Nix was pretty surprising how good he's been playing so far this year. So it's nice to see he's one of the top quarterbacks as far as rushing TDs go. He's on an offense that likes to pass more than run, which is pretty surprising. That was all those narratives. You know, Sean Payton loves to really run the ball, but they can't do shit as far as, you know, run blocking. So they've become more of a pass team, 0.54. They're passing at 54%. And then attempts per game is pretty nice also for Bo Nix as well. He's top 12 in attempts per game at 32.6. And then, like I think you brought it up earlier, he also has pretty underrated rushing as well. That's one of those things that we really absolutely need if you really want to have a great quarterback in fantasy football. So he's averaging 32.4 yards, you know, on the ground. But the other nice thing is too with him, you know, a lot of times this is why I love getting into the data, is because it cuts through all the BS narratives. So, like, how many times did you hear throughout the beginning of the season, you know, Bo Nix keeps turning over the ball? and yeah. he keeps making boneheaded plays and stuff like that. Well, you know, maybe PFF is just not watching the same games because they have Bo Nix as the fifth best quarterback when it comes to turnover play rate. He's at 1.9%. He's only right behind Jaden Daniels as far as keeping the ball protected and stuff like that. So he's probably been one of the biggest surprises, I think, so far this season. And I'm all for it. I'm glad that we have, you know, anywhere from four to six really amazing quarterbacks, because we haven't seen J.J. McCarthy or Penix play really at all this year, so outside of the preseason. So I'm all for this draft class and these quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I'm kind of just doing the math here real quick with, you know, we're going into week 10 here. He's averaging 32 yards per game right now. So I'm going to add that's for rushing.
Yeah.
So if I add in just his – if he gets his average every single week from here on out, he's going to have 550 rushing yards at the end of the year. Like,
yeah.
Who would have thought that coming from Bo Nix? And he has four rushing touchdowns. He probably tacks on another two or three more. So he might end up with six, seven rushing touchdowns. Yeah, the passing touchdowns are only eight. But he's going to get better. If you remember Bo Nix when he was coming out, like he was like the most accurate quarterback coming out in the class. And his percentage this year right now is 62.6, which isn't very good. That's like Josh Allen rookie year, like a little better than that. But he has some stinkers in here. There's a 57, a 48, another 57 last week against Baltimore. So like, this guy is very accurate with the football. He's gonna get that number up eventually. So I think, like, if I'm doing a draft next year, like, and I'm doing the rankings, like, we had Bo Nix coming into the air probably below like the Jared Goff types and Tua's. I probably in a redraft or a dynasty startup next year, I'd probably take in Bo Nix before I take Goff or Tua.
Yeah, I think the question is going to be next year, do you want Justin Herbert or do you want Bo Nix? I think
I'd rather have Herbert. Yeah, I don't think Bo Nix is on the Herbert level yet. How about this one, Bo Nix or Dak Prescott?
Oh, man. I kind of feel like, just for me, I'm more of a risk adverse type of player in Dynasty. I need to see it more from Bo Nix. I would probably go for Dak Prescott, but that's super close. That's a really good one, I think.
I have one more for you.
Okay.
Bo Nix or Caleb Williams?
I'm going to go with Caleb Williams, only because I am so looking forward to them cleaning house next year, getting rid of the coach, the OC, the GM. I want a clean slate for Caleb Williams. So,
okay. Yeah, I can see it, but I've seen some real stinkers here from Caleb.
Yeah. I'm putting so much of that on the Bears.
Yeah, I like Caleb a little bit. I wasn't super high on him coming out, but, I didn't think he was this generational talent that everyone made him out to be. Like, I just think there was too much off-platform stuff and making plays on his own. Yeah, some of it has translated, and he's made some plays, but, like, 36 yards at the end of the third quarter against Washington. Like, what the fuck are we doing here, man?
Yes, that wasn't – and I will say that in my process, Caleb Williams is, like, at 28. So he's playing like the 28th best quarterback this season. So.
Yeah, and I think you said that before the season, Bo Nix or Caleb Williams, you're getting laughed at. I think it's a lot closer than we make it out to be. So
yeah.
How about, do you have any quarterbacks that you're just like completely out on? Like, I've talked about it on the show here for the last month or two, is Trevor Lawrence. I'm just fucking done. No thanks. I'm out on Trevor Lawrence. Is there any of those type of guys for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of easy to say now, but Anthony Richardson. I know that there's lots of people who are, you know, just waiting until the situation turns around, or that the situation, it's like the Bryce Young type of thing. It's not A-Rich's fault, but man, if you can't pass the ball, you know, then you're not going to it doesn't matter how many rushing yards you get or what type of athletic freak that you are. And yeah, I'm completely out on A. Rich. It's going to be at least 2 years. So I hope the very best for him, but his stock's not going to go up for a couple of years. So outside of him, man,
Are you out on T-Law too? Like I am.
See, T-Law, I think he's just a fine quarterback too. He's never going to be a quarterback one though. He scored as the 13th best quarterback in my process. He's pushing the ball downfield. He's got a 9.7 A dot. He's got a QBR 65.7, which is pretty decent. And he's got a big time throw percentage of 5.1%. And he does get a decent passing volume with 30 attempts per game. So all those are they're average, but you're not going to be paying like huge prices for him. I don't think he's a huge detriment to your team. It's just, it kind of sucks having him on your team. It's hard for me. I'm going to be honest with you, Evie. It's hard for me to be negative. I tried to be as positive for every player as positive as possible, but there are just players. It'd probably be better just to ask me, is there players I just have zero shares of? I just haven't had a chance of getting and stuff like that.
Right. I get it.
Tua is probably, I'm pretty scared of.
All right. Well, let's hear your positive take on Deshaun Watson.
So he would be on the list for like players I just never had any shares of whatsoever.
Right. I'm just kidding. I just busting your balls. All right. So that's pretty good conversation there on the quarterbacks. Let's talk about the tight ends a little bit, because I always seem to like tight ends is the last one we go over. They don't get as much love. Everybody hates fucking tight ends because, they're not consistent. So let's give a little love to the tight ends here. We'll end the show on the tight end. So what have you seen from the tight end so far, and what are your takes?
Yeah, so Brock Bowers is having a historic season. He came out as my tight end one, which is pretty insane, for a rookie. And by a lot of different metrics, he may even be having a better year, even if it's not fantasy-wise. But metrics-wise, analytics-wise, he's probably having a better year than Laporta did last year. But George Kittle, he was a must-buy. He's right behind Brock Bowers as far as the score that I gave for him, only 1 point away. He's having an insane season right now. Let me pull up real quick.
With Kittle, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. His stats without one of Debo or Ayuk is like he's like tight end one in the NFL when one of those guys is missing. So Kittle, that doesn't shock me at all that he's going to be a top three tight end the rest of the way.
So the biggest metrics that I look at for tight ends outside of points per game, which Kittle leads the league at 16.9. When I did this article, this is a couple weeks old, but at the time of this article, he had a 22% target share. This is Kittle I'm talking about, which is massive. Yards per team pass attempt. Kittle led the league at 2.02 yards per team pass attempt. And he has 12 red zone targets. That's absolutely insane. So much of a tight end's production, you want to see them, get involved in the passing game, but they make their money in the red zone. So having 12 in the next closest tight end was actually Isaiah Likely at 9. That's pretty massive. And then another thing that I look at is receiving snaps. So where they're actually going out and running a route and have the ability to catch the ball and not only just blocking. George Kittle is an amazing blocker, but he's still getting 29 receiving snaps per game, which is above average. So George Kittle, he's one of those players that if you have a first round pick that's burning a hole in your pocket, I think that he can definitely be a league winner. And last I checked, he had a very high warp as well.
Yeah, I think in certain leagues, like if you have a 1.75 or a 2 point premium, definitely. I think 1.5, I guess you can if you're just a tight end away and the rest of your team is rock solid, then yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
But like a standard league, you know, just regular PPR for a tight end, I probably don't give up the first.
Yeah, I think it just completely depends on team situation. A lot of times we try to go get those, you know, those Derrick Henrys or those other types of league winners at wide receiver or other more valuable positions. But sometimes no one wants to trade you those players or they're already on contenders. So if George Kittle is on a team that isn't contending, man, he can be a league winner.
Yeah.
The other two players that I highlighted a couple weeks ago were Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz. Hunter Henry, he made the list only because, and I try to go for players that aren't super expensive. So if you go off just like what's not in my article, it's probably better for me to talk about. Trey McBride, Dallas Goedert, and Cole Kmet and Travis Kelce were all top five in my process. I didn't write about Trey McBride because outside of Brock Bowers, he's the tight end too in Dynasty. You're going to have to give up multiple firsts for him. Dallas Goedert is having probably the best season of his career, but he's hurt all the time. So I can't really recommend a guy that has a hamstring injury. And I can't recommend Cole Kmet because of that freaking Chicago Bears offense. It's so hot.
Yeah, gave you a nice 0 for 0 this week. Thanks, Cole. Appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, so I feel a lot better about Hunter Henry with who you were talking about earlier with Drake May. Mm. It's going to be between him and Pop Douglas as far as who's going to be, you know, his number one asset. And then Zach Ertz, man, he's top five in so many different categories despite, you know, being in his 12th year. He's fifth in 19 points with 19.7% air yards, so he's going down the field. He has the fourth highest ADOT with 8.6 yards, and he's got 7 red zone targets too. So, those types of players are the ones that I'm going after. I did almost write about Kate Otten, but then I saw when I was going to write about him, he'd risen like 70 spots and keep trade cut. And when you rise that high, man, it's just like, I think it could be pretty volatile.
He's tight end 9 right now. He's above Ferguson and Njoku, Ingram, Kelce, Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
That just shows you where, I mean, he's getting so much work right now because of all the injuries, but, I think once, you know, Evans comes back and McMillan is in there and Trey Palmer, like Otten kind of, he'll go back to, you know, back end tight end 1. But, yeah, he's risen a little bit, but over these other guys, no. I think Evan Ingram could be a guy that has a monster rest of the season with no Christian Kirk again. Kelsey's been getting just blanketed with a bunch of targets again. Like, he had 16 last night. I think another sneaky one that could be good for the rest of the year is Hockenson, obviously coming back from his knee injury.
Yeah.
Kraft, I like. Ferguson is probably going to get more work too with Lamb out for the next month. And Njoku and Winston should be really good together. So the tight ends are coming along here. But I think the one I like the best that you mentioned that's like down here is Hunter Henry. I think with Drake May the rest of the season, he should be good. And then the one more guy I did want to point out that I think as the season goes on, he just keeps humming and getting better and better. And he's already got like 90% of the tight end snaps and routes, and that's Theo Johnson for the Giants. Like, it hasn't, like, he had the touchdown this week finally for his first career touchdown. But the numbers and the amount of routes and snaps that this guy is playing and running right now, he's bound to just start hitting here at some point. So I think Theo Johnson is another one I'd be willing to buy.
Yeah, Theo Johnson, I haven't seen what he's done over the last couple of weeks, but at the time of me, you know, diving into this data, he was one of the highest amount of receiving snaps of any tight end. He was averaging 30.57. But the only thing is, though, is like you would think that with those many opportunities, you would want to see more production. That's the only thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation. Yeah. But I remember him coming out. He had one of the highest RAS scores. Yep. And yeah, he's just an athletic freak. So I hope that he does get unlocked in New York. But Yeah.
Yeah, so with how many snaps he was playing early on and not producing, so 4 for 18, 3 for 13, 1 for 6, so that was the month of September. Mm-hmm. In October here, 5 for 48, 3 for 30, then he missed a game with an injury, came back the next week and had 4 for 35, and then this week against Washington, 6 for 51 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he's just starting to ramp up. He's starting to get better and better as it goes on. And guess what? The Giants don't have any options, and this guy is clearly their best tight end option for them. So they finally found – I mean, they found a running back in Tracy. They found a really good young tight end here in Theo Johnson. Obviously, Malik Nabers, too. That's three rookies that the Giants just hit on that are the main part of their offense now. So, you know, kudos to Joe Shane. And he, I know he's taken a beating because of the whole Barkley stuff and the Hard Knocks stuff from this early in the year. But, man, he hit on three really good offensive players in this draft this year that – you know, could change the Giants franchise forever. You know,
yeah,
I don't want, maybe not forever, but, you know, at least make them relevant again.
Oh, no, it just feels like forever only because of how bad they've been over the last couple of years. But I definitely am hoping for, I think that's a really nice nucleus that they got. And yeah, I can't stress enough. You brought him up earlier, Evan Engram.
Man, yeah.
He's been just the last 2 years and might be this year the most underrated tight end that gives you elite numbers. So, like, him and TJ Hockenson, if you want to take those two gambles for elite production, those two guys, I think, are worth, you know, the price. Because TJ Hockenson or Evan Engram, he's only behind Trey McBride as far as target share goes. And he's getting 1.84 yards per attempt. That's top six in the league.
Yeah.
So he's pretty elite across the board.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Kittle. I think Evan Engram and Hockenson, I might be right there if I'm like the 112, like, and I'm a tight end away, offering up that pick for one of those guys too.
So would you go for Evan Engram over – if you had the price between him and Kittle, who are you going to go for?
I think I would go Kittle first and then Engram probably second on that list.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah, I think that's – I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah. How about any other tight ends that you want to highlight or any of the ones that you're just out on?
So the only other one that I think is worth a gamble at looking ahead of next year is Noah Gray. No one is talking about Noah Gray, but if we believe that the Kansas City Chiefs want to keep utilizing the tight end, he, I think, is one of the cheapest no-brainer ads. And he's been showing up, too, also, just in my data and stuff like that. He's got 2.68 yards per route run. That's one of the highest in the entire NFL, and 0.22 targets per route run. That's well above average. He's got a 7.8 ADOT. So I don't think it's going to be very difficult for him to slot in. And God forbid Travis Kelce does get hurt. I mean, Noah Gray is going to be a top 12 tight end very easily. So
yeah, and he screwed me this week with no catches on Monday night. Thanks, buddy, appreciate it.
Yeah, well, sorry, but yeah, D-Hop had to get his own.
Yeah. And then kind of just looking at keep trade cut of guys that, like, I'm not really too interested in. I think the guy who leads the list there, and he's tight end 21, is Dalton Schultz. There's a lot, you know, other tight ends down here, like Juwan Johnson is tight end 39. I think I'd rather have Juwan Johnson than Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz did not score very high in my thing. He came in as tight end 26.
The guy can barely get over 40 yards in a game. Like, it's like 20s, 10s, 30s. You know, that's all he's really getting for receiving yards this year. So, yeah, Dalton Schultz is a big big one that I wouldn't want. Like, I'd rather have Jonnu Smith. I'd rather have Zach Ertz. Like, maybe Chigakonkwo. Chigakonkwo is finally starting to come on a little bit too. So, yeah, I'm out on Schultz.
Yeah, I'm out on him as well. And yeah, I'd rather actually have Mike Gesicki over freaking Dalton Schultz, man.
Yeah, I think once T. Higgins comes back, though, Gesicki's probably going to go back. But when Higgins is out, man, Gesicki is smashed, like, all the time. So if you were on the start-sit show on Sunday and that guy needed two high upside plays, I say Gesicki and Taysom Hill. Hopefully he started him because he got three of those guys for a touchdown. And hopefully that put me in the lead over you on the sheet for
That was definitely the call of the year. That tandem right there was pretty ballsy, yeah. And that was pretty awesome to see both of them explode.
Yeah, so that was a good one for me on that one. But yeah, that's it for the little tight end talk. I think we got a little bit in there. I think the position is starting to get a little bit better. Like beginning of the season, you had Mark Andrews was on a milk carton. Kyle Pitts wasn't doing shit. Hockenson was injured. Dalton Kincaid sucked. You know, Kate Otten wasn't doing what he's doing, and Njoku was hurt. Evan Engram was hurt. Kelsey was a little slow out of the gate, too. So, like, now these guys are starting to get healthy, and they're starting to come on here at the end of the year. So, just when we need it, though, for the playoff run. So, I'm happy about that.
What do you think of, real quick, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews situation? Do you think that Mark just had a slow start, and it's just completely solidified with him? Or do you think Isaiah Likely can actually be the tight end to own moving forward?
No, I think it's still Andrews for me, at least for another year or two. But I could see Likely starting to come on. I think like him being like he was like tight end 9 at one point or 8, you know, after like that week 1 game, he's moved down to tight end 16. But I think there's just not enough opportunity there. Like they're gonna play Zay Flowers and Deontay Johnson now and Rashad Bateman over him. Like, you know, if they want to get all three of those receivers on the field, they're not gonna have two tight ends out on the field too. So Likely's probably gonna take a little bit of a backseat the rest of the year, I would imagine.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, that is going to be it for the tight end talk here. We will refresh this really quick with the trade deadline going on here. No, we had one other trade. Your Ravens required Tre'Davious White from the Rams.
Really?
So that's very interesting. Your Ravens got some little bit of cornerback help. And then Diana Russini reported that Bryce Young will stay with the Panthers. And the Colts have told inquiring teams that Anthony Richardson is off limits. So the Colts want to hold on to Mr. Richardson.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. The Ravens definitely need all the freaking help they can get on the back end. It's been historically bad this season for us.
Yeah, and injuries don't help. And, you know, you need Wiggins to come on a little bit. Humphrey's just been banged up for, like, years now. So,
but both of them have been playing great. It's the rest,
they've been playing great, yeah.
Hamilton needs to step it up.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton, yeah. So, I mean, losing, you know, a couple of the defensive pieces. I think the biggest loss is just losing Mike McDonald. You know, that was the biggest loss. So,
yeah. But I am happy for him in Seattle. They got off to a good start. It's been tough sledding over the last couple of weeks. But I think he's got a good thing going in Seattle.
Yeah, I think so, too. And he's got a good young defense going there. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, America's favorite game. Are you ready?
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. I've been dreaming about this, EV. Every time you bring a guy on and then you guys talk about movies or something else, I'm like, damn. So I'm excited for this.
All right. So you said you're a big movie guy. So I'm gonna give you a special one since this is your first podcast that you're really doing. We're going to do two of them here. So we're going to do we'll do your favorite Batman movie. So obviously The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises are going to be like 1-2 for everybody. And Batman Begins is pretty decent too. But like let's go with the older ones. So like the Val Kilmers and the George Clooney ones and Michael Keaton and all that ones.
Okay.
What's like your favorite Batman movies that aren't Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises?
Well, you know, kind of surprise you. I actually wouldn't pick those ones as my 1-on-1, even if I did have.
See, I have Dark Knight Rises as my favorite movie ever.
Wow, you really must have a hard on for Tom Hardy.
I don't know. I just love the whole Bane and stuff like that. I just thought that was a really good movie. But anyways, go on.
No, I absolutely love the newest one with Pattinson. That's my favorite Batman movie of all time. The way that they portray him, they finally utilize what Batman is like so known for. So he's got three parts to him. He's got the Bruce Wayne side, he's got the ass kicking side, but he's also got the detective side. They never utilized that in any of the other Batman movies.
Other ones, right? Yeah.
Until recently, and they had that whole like, you know, Seven vibe with him looking in all these like grisly murders and stuff like that. I absolutely love that. That's why the latest Batman movie is actually my favorite one. But when I look back on the other ones, I'm going to have to go with the Lego Batman movie as my favorite Batman movie.
Okay. You're surprising me.
Yeah, man. When I saw that movie, I was laughing my ass off the entire time. I don't know. A lot of my favorite movies are, all right, how many memes come out of this movie? So the Lego Batman movie, I think, is super highly underrated. So I'll let you go with the, what do you think the next one is there if we were doing a draft?
Yeah, so I like the new Batman as well. That would probably be my favorite one after that. So that was a good call. I really like Batman Begins too. I think Batman Begins is really, really good.
Yeah.
With Christian Bale.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. So then kind of looking at it, Val Kilmer had one movie. George Clooney had one movie, and Michael Keaton had two movies.
Mm-hmm. So which one are you picking next?
Man, this will get into my next question, but Batman and Robin would probably be my third one. And that's the one with George Clooney with Mr. Freeze and their Bane and Poison Ivy. I really like that one, too, quite a bit.
See, it's so hard to pick between Batman and Robin and Batman Forever because, yeah, you had Arnold Schwarzenegger, you had Uma Thurman, but then you had Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones and Batman Forever.
Right, right.
But if I had to pick after the Lego Batman movie, it would probably be Batman Returns. Nothing tops freaking Danny DeVito as the
Penguin. As Penguin, yeah.
Especially when he's in that little car and he's just going insane.
Yeah. And I love the one part where they're doing like the mayor stuff and he bites the dude's fucking nose.
Yeah. And then he pins that little vote pin on the lady super inappropriately.
Yeah. That one always. I haven't watched the Michael Keaton ones in a long time. I definitely need to go back. But yeah, man, those ones are really good.
Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. She was perfect.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of the DC stuff other than the Batman with Pattinson, like the Ben Affleck stuff. I just didn't watch.
Yeah, I would go straight to the old cartoon.
Yeah, like stuff. Adam West was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I like, oh man, there's between Sub-Zero and what's the one? Is it called The Phantom? What the hell is it called? The old cartoon movie, Batman movie.
Oh,
man, I gotta look this up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Mask of the Phantasm. That's the one you're thinking of. Okay.
That one was pretty awesome. But yeah, there's nothing that gets me more jazzed up outside of maybe the X-Men intro than listening to the old animated Batman series intro. It's so freaking good.
Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. Okay, so that leads me into my next question, and maybe we can do our favorite and we can do a little draft.
Okay.
Who is your favorite Batman actor?
Man, I gotta give it to Pattinson, man. I do. Because he, well, shoot. No. Can I? I want to change my pick. I'm gonna go with the guy who the animated Batman. I think is the absolute pinnacle. You know, whenever people think of Batman and what they should, who he embodies,
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, Kevin Conroy and the animated Batman is the 101 of Batmans.
Okay, interesting. I would say mine. I would definitely go Christian Bale as one. For my Batmans. I really like how Pattinson did the character. I don't know if I would put him second. He'd probably be my third.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just think the way he portrayed the character, the way he looked, and did everything, and this is gonna probably be a hot take, but I absolutely love George Clooney as Batman.
Yeah.
Dude. I just think he just fit the whole style, the, you know, being rich, you know, the action part he was good in. Like, obviously, it's a body double and stuff. But I just thought George Clooney was really, really good as Batman.
Yeah. Him as Bruce Wayne. Do you like Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne or him as Bruce Wayne better? Because I think...
I like Clooney as Bruce Wayne better, yeah.
I do, too, because... You know,
Christian Bale's just like in a house the whole fucking time. Like, he's not really doing anything.
And he's just super pissed off being rich and stuff like that, too.
Right. Yeah, right.
Like, woe is me. I'm freaking Bruce Wayne billionaire.
Right. Yeah. even Val Kilmer didn't do a terrible job as like just the Bruce Wayne character, too.
Yeah, he was like moody goth Batman, you know? It's just like brooding and stuff like that. So, yeah, I appreciated his Batman as well. But a lot of these Batman movies, they're kind of all about the villains, at least for me.
We could do that real quick. So, all right, we talked about our favorite Batmans. We'll finish up with the draft. We'll do your favorite villains for Batman. So I'll let you have the first pick.
Oh, man.
I think the 101 is probably pretty easy for most people.
Yeah, I think it absolutely has to be the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it has to be the Joker from The Dark Knight. So
yeah, that's what I meant. The why can't I think of his name off the top of my head?
Heath Ledger?
Yeah, Heath Ledger. Yeah, so Heath Ledger's Joker, yeah. He would be the 101. Man, my number two pick... I think I would go. I'd probably go Bane just because that is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go. And now it's the Bane from Dark Knight Rises. So I'll go with Bane, which is Tom Hardy.
Yeah. I think, like, when I watch both The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of fast forward through all the Christian Bale Batman parts, and I just watch the shit out of the villain parts because they're so highly quotable, and they just get me. Like, when he first appears and just beats the shit out of Batman, and he's just, like, dropping all of this knowledge on top of him, too, it's just, like, so awesome.
Yeah, when... Yeah, when Catwoman brings him down into the sewer there, and they close the gate behind him. Yeah, and yeah, Bane just takes him to town and just beats the piss out of him.
Yeah, I can't believe he got back with her despite her selling him out. I can't believe that. Yeah. I want to take her on a trip to Italy. I'd just go with
right.
His butler.
There you go. All right, who would be your number three pick here?
That's a good question. Probably the Riddler from the newest Batman movie.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, when he gets, especially that when he sees him in the jail cell at the end of the movie. Oh my god, it's so freaking good. It's so good.
I agree.
So yeah, the Riddler.
I think my four is gotta be Danny DeVito's Penguin.
That's who I was trying to decide between. That's a good one.
So, yeah, he would be my four. All right, who's the pick five for you?
Oh, freaking Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
As Catwoman?
Yeah, okay. She's so freaking good as that.
Yeah.
And I'm super into cats too, so it's just like those two things put together, and she just completely embodied the, you know, seducing him and also just being just completely bad news the entire time, just blowing up shit. So it was awesome.
Right, right. I would say my sixth pick, I'm going to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
Yeah, I thought Arnold did a really good job as Mr. Freeze in that movie. I really enjoyed him. So that would be my my sixth pick. We'll do one more round. I'll let you pick one more.
Man, I want to highlight how good the Arkham City video games were. Man, okay. They did such a great job, especially with the villains. Like, Mark Hamill's Joker is so freaking good. So I feel like either between him or Scarecrow, I think are really, really good villains. But I'd probably give it to Mark Hamill's Joker, the classic Joker.
Okay. I think my sixth or the eighth pick for me, probably Jack Nicholas
Jack Nicholson as the
Joker. Oh, Jack Nicholson. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That's as Joker there in the original 1989 film. I mean, a lot of people really like him. That's like their favorite villain, too. So.
Yeah,
I got to give him some credit there too. We're missing some, like, I thought Poison Ivy was great. There's definitely more that I'm just missing off. I like the Ra's al Ghul character. But like, I don't know. It's like the other ones were just better to me. Like, because there's not like, you know, he doesn't have like not superpowers, but like he's just a guy, you know.
Well, he's supposed to in the comics. I think he's like
for the movies, right?
Yeah, in the movies, yeah, they made him like a teacher and stuff like that. They actually Batman Begins is highly underrated. I think that's
a fantastic movie.
That's my favorite version of Batman in the trilogy. Him just learning and just learning to become a badass and
right.
Yeah,
I think if we get three or four movies of the new Batman with Pattinson, like I'm with you. Like, I was super excited for the darker, grittier,
yeah,
you know, more badass like Batman, like ass kicker, the whole detective part, and like, you know, like the murders and shit were actual, like, you know, it's more shit. Graphic. It isn't like. Yeah, it's like it's just like real and more graphic and more gritty and all that. So I'm excited for the new one. They say the new one is going to come out in 2026. So we got to wait a couple years for that, unfortunately. But
I haven't watched the new Penguin series, but I heard it's
really it is good. Phenomenal. Yeah, it is phenomenal. I still have to watch this week's episode. Haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. But yeah, the new Penguin show, definitely got to catch that. Definitely.
Yeah, anything to get that. I never watched it, but freaking Joker 2 that just came out, I heard.
Yeah, I watched it. I went to the theaters. I don't think it's as bad as everybody made it out to be, but it is bad. Yeah.
Look pretty bad. I don't know about that TV. I'm not into musicals. I'd rather freaking be disintegrated in a vat of acid than sit through a musical.
Yeah, that's where it got me too. But I really enjoy Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in those movies. Like, he does a phenomenal job, man.
Yeah, he was pretty good. It's just over with.
So hopefully. But that's gonna wrap it up here for us, man. Your first. First podcast, man. It's in the books.
Yeah, man. I'm kind of sad that it's over. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
We'll have you on again here soon. You still got to do. You're still working on running backs.
Yeah.
So, when are you gonna finish that up? You think?
So for the next, I'll give you my schedule for the next 4 weeks. So Next week is gonna be the top wide receivers in the league. After that, wide receiver buys, and then top running backs in the league. in running back buys. I set it up that way only because, you know, running backs are notoriously known for injuries, but maybe I should reverse it. It's all the wide receivers that are getting hurt this year. So, but yeah, in a month, you'll have all the wide receiver and RB top playmakers and buys.
Definitely. I think we will have you on there here in like a month then, for sure. We'll talk about your running backs and receivers and what you found. So that'll be what we can look forward to here in a month. So that'll be good.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I appreciate, you know, all the love that you've given my writing and everyone on the South Harmon team. They've really been boosting me up. Talked to Fizz right before getting on the show. I was telling him I'm a little bit nervous. So he told me to drink some caffeine and drink some wine. So I'm just kind of all over the place right now. But, yeah, no, I appreciate all the hype that you guys have been giving me. And, yeah, go check out my writing. A lot of it comes from the inspiration from everyone here in at South Harmon and in the space, too. I try to make it as entertaining as possible and try to tell a story that, you know, people aren't necessarily paying attention to. So, but yeah, I put a lot into those articles, and I appreciate anyone that reads them. So I hope that it helps the people out there. And I appreciate all the help that you've been giving people too, Evie. You dive into the NFL, and like really anyone else that I know, who else, you know, goes through all these deep waiver wires. And then, you know, at the beginning of the season, just going through every roster in the NFL. I've been listening to you for a long time. So yeah, I appreciate all the work that you put into it.
No, oh, I appreciate that. We appreciate you at TRock5220 on Twitter, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you guys give him a follow there. He needs some more followers. He posts his articles. His waiver wire article goes on there too. So if you need some help on the waiver wire, you can kind of see what he's thinking and what he's seeing from his stats that he's pulling out. So another good way to follow TRock there. And you can follow me at Eric Vanek NFL. At America's Game Pod as well on Twitter. And then the whole South Harmon family at South Harmon FF on YouTube and Twitter. Like I said earlier, videos, podcasts, you name it, shorts we're going to be getting into again here. All that fun stuff is going to be on the YouTube and the podcast feed. So make sure you guys check that out. Rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff.
And Sunday morning, start shit show too.
Yes.
Yeah, man. We've been killing it.
Yeah, me, you, and Matt have been doing that all year. Had a couple guests here and there. Koopa's been on, and Matty Kiwum's been on. Hadn't had Fizz yet.
Fizz needs to get on there. I don't know if he works or not.
Yeah, he works on Sunday, so unfortunately he can't get on as much. But yeah, we'll get Fizz on hopefully by the end of the season. But yeah, man, T-Rock, it's been really good having you on, man. Even though you're a fucking Ravens fan.
Well, I appreciate the love.
At least I know the origin story now of it.
Yeah, now you do. Yeah, and I've got nothing but love for Browns fans. So I appreciate you guys as well.
All right, well, that's good. I know we have some dark times here.
Yeah, everyone send some love towards the Browns fans right now. Yeah, they need
real dark times. But yeah, appreciate you, man. But until next week for America's Game, episode 68, 67 is in the books. T-Rock's first time, man. So have fun having you on. So we'll see you guys next week.